Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 18th of February, recording at 7:45 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Not before the close, because we have President's Day in the United States. That should really be the George Washington's birthday celebration. The futures markets are trading lightly, but the main indices have not traded on Wall Street. So what's happened here today? Well, in Asia, most markets were a little steadier, and Japan was the standout here, partly because following the G20 meeting, the Japanese yen has weakened a little further. If I quote it the other way around in terms of strength of the dollar against the yen, it's nearly at 94. That's the upper side of its current little narrow range. And the Nikkei 225 was up over 2% here today, taking it to 11,408. Now, also in Japan, the second section index, that had a soft week last week, and it tends to be a bit of a lead indicator for Japan overall. Now, that was steadier here today, but it does need to regain last week's decline to keep it on an equal footing with what we're seeing from Japan's other indices. Now, one concern, and I've written about it here today for Japan, is that while the weaker yen has certainly excited interest in Japan, not least in the export sector, and I think this is certainly justified, and it does hold out the possibility, perhaps even the promise, that Japan can pull out of its deflationary cycle. But one of the liabilities, of course, of the weaker currency is the cost of crude oil, and that has pushed up to its highest level really since the peak in 2008. It's still well below that peak, but that does remain a bit of a problem here for Japan. Now, elsewhere, the China market, well, that opened on a quiet note, down 10-11 points, which is not much for the mainland index. But there's been a little bit of concern that perhaps Japan's economy isn't as strong as people were actually hoping. I think that's probably just a cautious view after all the bearish sentiment that we had last year. But hopefully we will see, if you're looking for signs of recovery, hopefully we will see some more stimulative measures coming from the government in the near term. Now, beyond Asia, looking at Europe, this has been the soft spot, really. It's a far cry from the all the crisis talk that we had last year. So nobody's having nightmares, or I don't think they are, at least, having nightmares about Europe from an investment perspective. But the region is underperforming here in the short term. And having mentioned energy in terms of Japan's costs, the Brent crude oil price. Now, Brent crude is trading up at around $117.5. So it's at the higher side of its range for a number of months. But if you look at that in, and I am posting this chart today, if you look at that in euros, then it's not all that far below. It's only a little bit below the 2008 peak. So again, energy costs are a very big problem here for Europe overall. I would say a bigger concern than the Italian election, which is certainly preoccupying comment and diverting attention away from other factors here in Europe. But we've seen a somewhat, as I say, a somewhat bigger reaction and pullback, and we need to see those SX 5E, that's the 50 share index within Europe. We need to see that pick up from its current level near 2600, and we also need to see the banks index push upwards once again to remain consistent in terms of their overall recovery prospects. We will see. That might be a bit too much in an environment here where we are seeing some of these markets spill over into corrective phases here generally. I don't think we haven't seen too much in the way of technical deterioration within the upward trends during this process so far. And from a fundamental standpoint, I would be hopeful that we wouldn't see much in the way of the big pullbacks that occurred last year. But until we get through a corrective phase without some of that downside action exacerbated by high-frequency logarithmic trading, we won't be reassured until we get through, as I say, a pause without a bigger overall setback. Now, elsewhere, the European markets, in general, I said they're a little bit to the easier side, although not across the boards. DAX is a little firmer today, so is CAC, and so was the Swedish OMX index. And no big volume here overall. Now, looking elsewhere, bond prices, long-dated government bond futures prices are a little bit firmer here today, but really very, very quiet. And money, as we know from those charts, has been drifting away from this sector for the last few months. That's certainly also true of gold and silver. Both are a little bit steadier in here today. Although gold is only at 1609, that's the bullion spot bullion price. Palladium and also platinum, which had fallen on Friday when gold and silver got the big sell-offs, but palladium is higher here today, back to 764 and a half, and platinum is steady near the higher side of its current trading range at 1695. Silver is just below the $30 level right now. Now, these two metals are oversold on a short-term basis, and interestingly, a subscriber sent me a ranking by 14-day relative strength index, RSI, of various different markets around the globe, and the most overbought one, given its recent momentum and persistent rise, is Australia's All Ordinaries Index. That's the main Australian index. And it is overextended. I've commented on that on a number of occasions, but provided China's recovery comes through as I suspect, then Australia is going to have a very good remainder of the year as well. But it is setting itself up for a reaction and some mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving average. Its reading on that 14-day RSI is up. Is at 81, so that's the highest of these markets measured, and the lowest. Well, you might not be surprised to hear that it's gold, oversold at a reading of only 28, and it certainly is oversold, and it is in prior support over the last many months. But it's all for the bulls to prove, because you've got a number of people who are running short positions and a lot of talking bears. And numerous forecasts and reports coming out that are bearish for gold. And that will appeal to some of the contrarian thinkers here overall. But the point that both Owen and I have mentioned repeatedly is that, oversold or not, gold really will have to push back back up above $1,700 from its current level of $90 below that. It will have to push up above that $1,700 to convince or begin to convince people that demand is regaining the upper hand. Crude oil, soft in the U.S., which has been the case all along at $95.55, but $117.50 for the Brent, of course. And on that note, all the best to all of you.